Revelation chapter number 22, verse numbers 13 through 21. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loves and makes a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that hears say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He who testifies these things says, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Verse number 13. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. This is a short verse with meaning and significance I cannot measure. In the chapter number 1, verse numbers 5 through 8, Jesus Christ is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. He loves us and washes us from our sins in His own blood, and brings us up for His kings and priests unto God and His Father. Glory and dominion to Him forever and ever. Amen. He is the first, the only one. Behold, He comes with clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierced Him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. Even so, Amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, says the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. What a flash of God's glory, might, and grandeur! Our blessed Redeemer presents Himself in bliss to His patiently suffering but faithful witnesses and martyrs. He is ever with His own. In the chapter number 1, verse numbers 17 and 18, He laid His right hand upon John, saying, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am He that lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. He is the Almighty God's right hand. That hand leads His redeemed people through the Red Sea and hurls the waves over the cruel oppressor's military power. The book of Exodus, chapter number 14. This is the right hand that touched many with healing and a few with return from the dead. This is the right hand that embraced John at the Last Supper to give the young disciple the answer and to the traitor the last warning. Gospel according to John chapter number 13, verse numbers 25 and 26. The same hand that touched Herod and his guards with a mortifying touch. The book of the Acts of the Apostle, chapter number 12, verse numbers 19 through 23. This hand was nailed in crucifixion and lifted above the disciples with blessings in ascension. He is the first, the last, and our all in all. In the chapter number 21, verse numbers 5 through 7, He sits on the throne and says, Behold, I make all things new. He says to John, Write, These words are true and faithful. It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. His victors inherit all things. He is their God, and they're his children. In the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter number 3, verse number 14, we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Christ's Spirit in us, and we in him. In the chapter number 7, verse numbers 2 and 3, Christ is the King of righteousness, King of Salem, which is King of peace, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, the Son of God. He abides the priest continually, God's eternal Son. In the Epistle to Hebrews, chapter number 12, verse number 2, Christ Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, is at the right hand of the throne of God. In the first book of Chronicles, chapter number 29, verse number 29, and the second book of Chronicles, chapter number 9, verse number 29, and chapter number 12, verse number 15, the first and the last includes also everything in between. In the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter number 44, verse number 6, our Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, says, I am the first and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. In the chapter number 48, verse number 12, he repeats, hearken unto me, O Israel, my called. I am he, I am the first, I also am the last. The few references listed reveal and confirm our Creator and Savior's omnipotence in his everlasting gospel. Trust and obey God. I have not gathered all the references pertaining to this majestic announcement of our God, our Heavenly Father, in his only begotten Son. Yet, as many as are listed here would require longer study and expounding than the expected remainder of my earthly journey. Perhaps this also reminds us we need the endless eternity to adore our God. Verse number 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. Blessed are all that lived the gospel to the end of their earthly journey. The second epistle to Timothy, chapter number 4, and verse number 7 and 8. All that did hear the gospel call are blessed. Gospel according to Luke, chapter number 10, verse number 23. The strongly persuasive testimony of our blessedness is loyalty to our Lord now. Our past is not sufficient. The future is not present yet. If we are in Christ now, we know that he is in our heart. Our Lord is not just a pleasant memory, not only a hope for the future. He is permanent presence, our eternal I Am. Blessed memories and faithful records are wonderful. Our living hope in him is glorious. Yet we must be united in his Spirit now. We need him all the time. Without him, we are lost. If we are in Christ, our tree of life, we live and we grow. Our Lord Jesus constantly feeds us with the bread of life, with the fruits of his Spirit, by his and his witnesses' example. Every new experience of his loving lordship in our heart, mind, soul, body, and our daily walk is a step through the gate into the city. Blessed are those suffering persecution, imprisonment, and martyrdom for the testimony of the Lamb. Those rejoicing in his salvation are blessed. All genuine believers are blessed in him doing his commandments. We do his bidding when we live to please our Heavenly Father, to honor our blessed Lord Jesus, to bless our fellow believers, and to reach out to the sinners around us in sincere godliness. Then we are salt to the earth and light to the world. His living testimony here. Blessed are all washed from their sin by the blood of the Lamb. in the Gospel according to John, chapter number 1, verse numbers 12 and 13. As many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born of God. The Epistle to the Romans, chapter number 8, verse number 1, tells us, there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Verse number 15. Without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loves and makes a lie. Dogs feed on unclean food that our God's people must refuse. The book of Exodus, chapter number 22, verse number 31. Dogs lack holiness, trample on the gifts of our Lord's Spirit, victimize ignorant disciples, and prey on the life of disobedient. The first book of Kings, chapter number 21, verse number 24, and the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter number 7, verse number 6. Dogs return to their own filth. They lack genuine repentance and lasting discipleship. The second epistle of Peter, chapter number 2, verse number 22. Sorcerers offer false information to deceive both sinners and believers. Sorcerers battle against our God's word and remain under our God's condemnation. The book of Exodus, chapter number 7, verse number 11, and the prophecy of Malachi, chapter number 3, verse number 5. Whoremongers lust after filth of the flesh and worldly pollution. Some of them might creep into a company of believers, and some believers might get entangled into such snares of the devil. Real children of our Heavenly Father haste to repent and receive His grace toward restoration. Our Lord Jesus says in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter number 5, verse number 28, whosoever lusts after a woman has committed adultery with her already in his heart. And in chapter number 15, verse number 19, he says, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. Murder has been with men since the time of Cain. The originator of murder is the devil. Gospel according to John, chapter number 8, verse number 44. He deceives the devil. He deceived the first couple into spiritual suicide. Commandment against murder was given long ago in the commandment to love one another. In the Ten Commandments and in the Gospel according to John, chapter number 13, verse numbers 34 and 35. Our Lord warns us again in the first epistle of John, chapter number 3, verse number 15. Whosoever hates his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Mass murders and suicides are committed in the world around us all the time. Worldliness, vanity, pride and arrogance, sinful lust, selfishness, greed, social entertainment, and numerous other snares of this world's God stimulate murders and suicides of both soul and body. Many highly praised worldly virtues are predispositions for murdering body and soul. Our adversary lusts to deceive men into idolatry. Many foolish ambitions are idols. Some meaningless, purposeless, and worthless things or ideas become idols of individuals, groups, or masses. A dangerous and very much multiplied idol of wealthy individuals and of poor masses is idleness. Idleness is like a nest of many other idols and wicked activity of men. All these satanic devices have no power over the children of our Heavenly Father as long as we are on guard, as our Lord says in the Gospel according to Luke, chapter number 12, verse numbers 34 through 37. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning. You be like unto men that wait for their Lord, that when he comes and knocks, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when He comes, shall find watching. Negligence in our worship and fellowship paves the road for evil powers. For all faithful disciples, Satan is a defeated adversary. Only when we make ourselves weak through negligence, our treacherous and cruel enemy is very strong. His power is in his deception. Our teacher says in the Gospel according to John, chapter number 8, verse number 44, "The devil is a liar and the father of it. There is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own." Our Lord is the way, the truth, and the life, the only way unto the Father. But by our diligent adoration of the Father in the Son, His Holy Spirit keeps us safe and secure. As long as we abide in Him, we abhor the devil's falsehood and the filth of wickedness. Our Lord's Spirit and truth keeps us from accepting and doing lie. Verse number 16. "I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star." Our Lord Jesus speaks to his disciples in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter number 28, verse number 19, "Go, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." He is with us, but He sends His angel. In His Spirit He guides us step by step to the end of our earthly journey. He personally teaches, leads, corrects, and protects us. To reveal His glory and majesty, He sends His angel. This is the revelation to John, to the seven churches, to all believers, and to us, to the end of the world. John was not ready to see the reality of glory after all the revelation given to him. To me, within my limits, the revelation comes from our Father through our Savior by the angel's testimony. John receives the vision and writes the book. We read the book and pray for deeper insight, clearer understanding, faithful application, sound teaching, and clarity in our presentations. Every step of the way, our Lord Jesus is with us to guide, correct, and protect us. All the time the devil strives to distract and confuse us. O Lord, keep me humble, prayerful, and faithful. Keep me in Thy grace in Christ Thy Son, our Lord, Master, Owner, and Sustainer. Save me from my self-will. The next part of our King's announcement is, "I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star." This sounds like an echo of the verse number 13, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." Some psalms and prophecies foretell the coming of the Messiah of the seed of David. Some people addressed our Lord as David's son. In some aspects, our Savior's kingdom can be compared with the blossoming Israel of the King David's time. Our Lord Jesus says that He is the root, and that gives greater meaning to the word offspring. David was our God's chosen and anointed, but also he was only a man. If our Lord allowed David to follow his own carnality, David would have been lost like Saul, the first king of Israel. Our Lord Jesus is the only source of any and all godness in a man. Humanity is a fallen race. In the Gospel according to John, chapter number 5, verse number 25, our Redeemer tells us, "When the dead hear the voice of the Son of God, they shall live." In the chapter number 1, verse numbers 1 through 4, we are told, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. All the redeemed have their conception and birth from above. The glorified Lamb of God is the bright and morning star. Our Apostle Peter writes in the second epistle, chapter number 1, verse number 1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And in the verse number 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Christ is our ever-rising star. The prophecy of the prophet Isaiah, chapter number 9, verse numbers 7 and 6, foretells, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government is upon his shoulder, and his name is Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there is no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts performs this. I updated this prophecy. As long as we journey, labor, or battle in our flesh, we ought to grow in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Epistle to the Ephesians, chapter number 4, verse number 13. That way we keep our inner man in the light of our rising star, our Son of Righteousness, the prophecy of Malachi. The prophecy of Malachi, chapter number 4, verse number 2. King of kings and Lord of lords. Verse number 17. The Spirit and the Bride say, Come. Let him that hears say, Come. Let him that is athirst, come. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. As soon as our King and Savior appears and proclaims his attributes in the verse number 16, his redeemed souls are moved with a surge of yearning for more of his presence, love, and loving lordship. The Holy Spirit of Christ is in the bride. He is in the kingdom of glory. He proclaims the everlasting gospel of salvation in the Son of God, Son of Righteousness, the Creator and Ruler of the universe, our soul's love, yearning, and adoration. The Spirit responds to our Lord's appearance in the verse numbers 12 to 16 with the desire of the host of heaven and all the rescued souls in heaven and in the earth. Come. Yes, our glorious King, Creator and Savior, come. The whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. We ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan within ourselves, waiting for the redemption of our body. The Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. The Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Epistle to the Romans, chapter number 8, verse numbers 22 through 26. The divine language is unlimited. The blessed, mighty, and gentle influence of our Master's Spirit generates, sustains, and accelerates the same fervent longing for the completion of our transformation and full manifestation of eternal glory, His glory. We have a building of God, a house eternal in the heavens. In this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house from heaven, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. God has given us the earnest of the Spirit, We are always confident and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. The second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter number 5, verse numbers 1 through 8. Sinners, still in the yoke of sin, cannot hear the clear sound of the gospel testimony. But let him that hears say, Come. Let all of us that did hear the voice of the Son of God and received life, as in the Gospel according to John chapter number 5, verse number 25, bravely proclaim our soul's longing. As we desire to see our King in His glory, so we echo His calling. If any man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes on me, out of him shall flow rivers of living water. Gospel according to John, chapter number 7, verse numbers 37 and 38. Lord, give us grace to be Thy living coal. Just like in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter number 11, verse numbers 28 through 30, our Savior is still calling, Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. We must pray to be His living invitation to the end of the day of grace. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. When we drink from His fountain, His living water flows through us. All are invited, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray you therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He would send forth laborers into His harvest. Gospel according to Luke chapter number 10, verse number 2, verse numbers 18 and 19. For I testify unto every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. I perceive that many translators and editors of our Bible text were godly laborers. My confidence is that all sincere disciples of the word have godly concerns and keen desire for correct and trustworthy translations of the entire book in all languages and dialects of our era. I believe we all pray for our Lord's guidance, correction, and protection in our studies, understanding, and applications, in our presentations, and our daily testimony. In my limited observation and personal experience, it is obvious that many translations suffered a degree of influence by some denominations, prejudice, and even intentional political deviations from the original meaning of some words. Dogmatic absolute confidence in a particular translation borders with superstition. In the verse number 18 and the verse number 19, we have a stern warning. We must be alert to keep ourselves from adding to or subtracting from the Word of God. We also ought to preserve our awareness about certain contaminations in nominal religions. Some idolatrous teaching and false doctrines are wrapped in very decorative deception. Much wickedness and rebellion is camouflaged with carnal, godless psychology. Besides our prayerful effort to be faithful to the genuine meaning, interpretation, and application of our Lord's message, we need to walk humbly and be watchful, willing to sincerely examine our understanding of our King's decrees, A significant help to me came through comparing translations in diverse languages and direct translations of the scripts. Very reliable help in understanding our God's Word is in good references and comparison of related verses and passages. Attempt of some groups and individuals to use this warning in the verses, in the verse numbers 18 and 19 as a doctrinal base for or against nominal teachings and applications of predestination and eternal security is misguiding, as are many arguments about these topics. The Gospel books, Acts, and Epistles contain sufficient and clear fundamental information about the truth. It is clear that the wisdom from above teaches us to reverence and adore our Heavenly Father and His only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus. We need His constant guidance, correction, and protection. Any attempt to correct or improve our God's Word indicates strongly a rebellion instigated by our adversary, the dragon. God's Word is the only foundation. All man-made changes of the true Scriptures' texts reveal the deeds of deceivers and self-deceived slaves of darkness. These slaves have not the liberty in Christ, the blessings and glory in the Revelation and the entire Holy Scripture. They aim for the plagues listed in these books and ultimately to the lake of fire burning with brimstone, the endless death. Verse number 20. He which testifies these things says, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. In the chapter number 3, verse numbers 7 through 12, our Lord's encouragement to the angel of the church in Philadelphia reveals Christ's holiness in truth, the truth, the genuine repentance and conversion followed by faithfulness, the key of David. Our Redeemer is with us in all the work He gives us to labor in. He opens the hearts and minds of the gospel hearers, and the persuasive power of the gospel light prevails against the onslaught of Satan's deception and wickedness. He is strong in the weak but faithful, victorious keepers of His word, the true worshippers of His name. His marvelous deeds confirm His love for His faithful more than we can understand. He is victorious in His faithful witnesses, and He declares to them, behold, I come quickly. I protect you. No man can take your crown. Hold fast all I give you. I will write upon you the name of my God, of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, and my new name. In this 22nd chapter, verse number 7, our captain repeats to us, look, see the reality. I am the one that always comes quickly. Keep my commandments. It is not just a burden. It is my blessing. Keep. Don't just talk. Walk. Remember and experience the testimony of our Savior's Spirit in and through His faithful witnesses in the second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter number 4, verse numbers 13, and all the way to the first verse of the chapter number 5. We have the same spirit of faith, as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. We know that He who raised up our Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus. The abundant grace through the thanksgiving of many glorifies our God exceedingly. We faint not. Our Lord's words speak to us. He speaks. Your outward man wears out. Yet your inward man I renew day by day. Your light affliction is but for a moment, but it works in you a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We know that our earthly tabernacle dissolves. We have a building of God eternal in the heavens, and the builder is with us now. In the verse number 12, one more beam of encouragement, another surge of new power sounds. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. Our God's Lamb, our King of Kings, is with us on His own pillar of suffering and shame, in the den of lions, in the fiery furnace, dungeons, in burning the books of witchcraft, in martyrdom, and in looking forward to eternal glory. Blessed are the keepers of His commandments. They are open to the tree of life. They are stepping in through the gate into the city. Our Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, our all in all, the only one, says, surely I come quickly. Join the chorus of all ransomed in unison and perfect harmony. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Oh, what bliss! Such splendor! Glory and majesty of the Father and Son! Oh, what thrill and triumph of the ransom with the heavenly host! All and all this is only a vision, just a glimpse, just a pretaste. Even our tiny experience is beyond description, but the reality of His glory, majesty, and the beauty of His holiness are way beyond our present perception. It looks like our beloved brother John cannot end the endless. Our Deliverer's Spirit is so much in John's awareness that he must add his Christian farewell salutation in the verse number 21. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.